Well, I trust that what I have to say this morning is from the Lord. But I do know this, that what I will say will be in love to each one of us. I am deeply concerned about the days in which we live and the darkness of this day and of the attacks even from within, subtle attacks by Satan. And I would like to bring before you, beloved ones, occasions where older ones spoke to younger ones, from the Old Testament, from the New, and also just a few words and comment from an older brother. To those of you who are younger, I'm not speaking only to the young people, but to those of you who are growing up now, and as you can readily see, our numbers are being depleted of those older ones. And I would like to bring before you what God would tell us of our responsibilities. I address those who are in their 40s, brothers and sisters alike. Let's turn now to 2 Kings chapter 6 for the first one where there was an older brother speaking, an older one speaking to a younger. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 1. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam. And let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. Now just a few comments on this. In connection with the burden of my heart, and that is that there were these younger ones, the sons of the prophets. I realize that in earlier chapters, these weren't in a good state of soul. They missed the mind of the Lord. But it would seem to me, possibly as the result of the previous chapter, where Elisha had performed this wonderful work for Naaman, and it seems that these younger ones now were growing in their souls. Oh, beloved young ones, younger brethren here, I just trust that this will be a message to you. They said there, Behold now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. I take it this way, that there was a desire to grow in their soul. And spiritually I'm speaking. And so they consult now with an older one. As I observe it, beloved younger brother, I see that those who have a desire to draw from the older ones who have gone on in the path for a long time, they are the ones that are growing in their souls. And it just fills my heart with joy as I see some of you younger brethren who have this apparent desire to go on now and to grow in the truth and to be drawing from those who are older. And so he said, these younger ones said in verse 2, "Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan." Now Jordan is the place of death. And this was progress in their souls. And so they consult with him and they said, "Let us go." They didn't want to go on their own to branching out in independency. It's so much the spirit of the day, younger ones to say, we don't need to be consulting the older ones. They are living in a past day. It's today. No, these younger ones, they spoke to Elisha. And they said, "Let us go unto Jordan and take thence every man a beam." Each one was going to take his own responsibility, not to be forming into groups or cliques, but to go to take a beam for each one for himself. "And let us make a place where we may go." And he answered, "Go ye." There was the approval. I have seen over the many years that younger ones who want to be acting in independence and not seeking the approval of the brethren, it ends in disaster so often, beloved ones. I think of many cases in the East, of which I have been well acquainted, where there was this departure, and it just has, as I said, just led farther and farther away. And he answered, "Go ye." And one said, "Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants." Oh, isn't this beautiful? They said, we're not going to go without you now, Elisha. He's still addressed as Elisha. You come with us. Here's the road to blessing, beloved ones. And so here he says, "I will go." There was the approval of this older one. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. Now, wood in the scriptures very often is speaking of the humanity. It can apply primarily to Christ. And so here they were cutting down wood. In the book of Haggai, it says, "Let us go up to the mountain and cut down wood, draw wood, and build the house." May you and I, beloved ones, young and old alike, have this desire to be building a testimony through His grace to the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they cut down wood. Verse 5, here comes a trial. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. Now here was, just I apply it in this way, we could say that the axe head, and I want to speak about this in the Old and the New Testaments, the axe head, we could say that that would apply to the truth. He loses the axe head. The axe head fell into the water. Here was a difficulty now. He loses the axe head. In his energy, he is possibly careless, I don't know, but he loses this axe head into the water. What does he do first of all? He thinks of the older brother. Now, I trust that I'm not trying to be telling you, younger brethren, that we want to be holding on to things. I hear remarks being made sometimes about the hierarchy. I think, beloved ones, that this doesn't become us. And if you and I are going to be hearing the Word of God, we're going to realize the value of this such an important thing, and that is to be drawing from those who have gone along in the path and who have bought the truth. So what does he say? He cried and said, "Alas, Master." He went right to that now called the man of God. He wasn't on familiar terms with him. He had his place, but he says, "Alas, Master, for it was borrowed." The truth, beloved ones, is not ours. It is passed on to us. Those who have gone before us have paid dearly for the truth. And, beloved ones, it's the truth that you and I want to preserve. It's not ours. It's loaned to us. May we realize and value the truth of God. And so he says, for it was borrowed. Verse 6, and the man of God said, where fell it? Now, this was a man of God, and he could have just put his hand in his pocket, speaking in that way, and pulled out another axe head and said, there it is. But he didn't say that. He said, where fell it? Where did you lose it? And, beloved ones, I believe that this is important, that when you and I lose the truth, sometimes we do, we get off the track. It's not the immediate loss of it that I need to examine, but it is where I started off down the track. I often say this, we don't leave the Lord's table at right angles. It's always a path, a way, a departure. And so this man of God said to him, where fell it? He had to go back to that place. Oh, may I just remind you, and I remind myself, of the need of reading the precious Word of God and prayer. And when I give up those things or I am negligent in them, I'm starting down that path that is going to bring fruit. The root of it is the beginning of the departure. May we get back to that place where we realize we began to go down that wrong path. Where fell it? Verse 6, the middle of the verse, and he showed him the place. He took him right to the place. He didn't say, well, it was a poor axe head. No, he didn't. He took him right to the place. May you and I have the grace to go back to that place where we first started that departure. And what does it say there, middle of that sixth verse? And he cut down a stick. Oh, how touching this is. Written long, long before the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. This, beloved ones, is where you and I need to get back to. Not that we need to get saved over again, but oh, we need to get back to that cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. This was the beginning of our blessing, the foundation of it, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is where you and I find our restoration. To confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he cut down a stick, the application of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does it say? And the iron did swim. Miracle, miracle. Oh, prove the Lord and find out that he is faithful to his word when you and I go back and to be honest and expose our breast to the Lord and get right to the very core of the matter. Not with the troubles, not with the Lord, but with me. I began to start down that road. The axe head swam. It miraculously came, but it wasn't amphibious. It didn't come to the surface of the water and then fly back onto the axe head. Notice what it does do. Verse 7, therefore he said, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. I think this is precious. It didn't, as I said, it didn't miraculously come back. He had to get down on his hands and knees and reach out his hand personally and take that axe head and put it back onto the axe handle. The truth was restored to him. Oh, how precious. And if you and I just apply this, in young and old alike, you're going to find that God is faithful to his word. Now let's look in the New Testament to another axe head and another set of people. Timothy, the younger man, and Paul, the older. First of all, 2 Timothy. 4:12. Here are the words of an older brother, the Apostle Paul, to a younger one, Timothy. I'm sorry, 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conduct, in love. I understand that in spirit is left out in the New Translation. In faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profit may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save, both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now here is a word to a younger brother. And the first thing it says, let no man, no one despise thy youth. Now this is a word of encouragement that I want to pass on to younger brothers and sisters. And when it says here, let no man despise thy youth, I put it this way, it doesn't mean that the Apostle Paul was saying to Timothy, don't let them push you around because you're a young brother. But I believe it is saying to him, consistency, Timothy, in your life. Paul was teaching that younger brother truth that Paul himself had received from an ascended and glorified truth. Lord in heaven. He had received that. It wasn't Old Testament truth adjusted. It was an entirely new Christian revelation that the Lord Jesus had given the Apostle Paul. It is the complete truth, beloved ones. The Apostle Paul tells us in Colossians, he was raised up to complete the Word of God. You and I have this truth, beloved ones. Here is our axe head now. May we be wielding that axe in truth. And so he is saying to him, Timothy, if you are acting out in your life, the truth that you are saying, lofty truth that it might be, that it was, they won't despise you. I say this to you, dear younger brethren. Consistency in our life is so important. Consistency. We have a tendency, don't we, to be drifting one way or another, or certain qualities, or emphasizing one thing or another. Consistency. And you, dear fathers and mothers that are here, consistency in your home. A young sister came to me one time in the gospel tent, and she said, my father and mother, both of them are gathered, are having a serious contention as to having a TV in the home. And she said, my mother is resisting and my father wants to get rid of that TV. She asked me, what should I say? What should my father do? Oh, I said to that dear sister, it all depends on the consistency of your father. If your father is going on with some other things that are so inconsistent, mother is going to say to your father, yes, you want to get rid of the TV, but what about other things that you're allowing? Oh, there is no moral power, you dear fathers, if there is inconsistency. But where there is that desire to go on and a consistency in your life as the head of your home, there is going to be moral power in what you say. And your children are going to be blessed when they see that. And I believe that this is the force of this verse. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example or a model of the brethren. A model of the brethren. I ask you, younger brethren, is that what you are? Or are we throwing off the shackles and saying, well, those are the old brethren, and when they have passed on, then we're going to be able to get on to newer ways of dealing with problems and so on. Beloved ones, it's Christ that you and I need. It's consistency to that blessed Word of God, and it is the applying of that axe head in consistency that is going to bring you and me to be honoring the Lord Jesus Christ in our life, and there's going to be blessing. And then he says in those number of things, but be thou a model of the believers in word, what we're saying, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity, inward purity. We're living in a day when morals are just so declining. The winds are blowing into our assemblies, beloved ones. We need to have inward purity in our life. And these are the things that Paul was imploring dear younger Timothy to follow in. And then in the verse 13 he says, till I come. He wasn't giving Timothy liberty to go on its own like those ones in 2 Kings. The Elisha was with them. And the Apostle Paul could say, till I come. Give attendance or give thyself to reading. The reading of the precious Word of God. Oh, how important this is. Personal reading. Reading around the home, it's so important for us, for the younger ones. But personal reading, there's the foundation that we need to lay. To exhortation, to be giving a word to a brother or a sister when we see the decline setting in. Oh, do we have a love for each other and a concern? I see some of the younger brothers in the Gospel Tent in Nova Scotia that were developing quickly into fathers, a concern for others, and they didn't mind saying a word. Oh, how important it is, beloved ones, not to be criticizing each other, but to be exhorting to teaching or doctrine. You and I need the truth that has been passed on to us, and we need to be applying it to ourselves first. And then he says in the 14th verse, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Be not negligent. Every one of us, young and old, has received a gift to do. And if you and I are walking in that gift, we're going to do it easily. It's a gift from God. Don't neglect it. Don't neglect it. If someone asks you to take the gospel or to give a word, go ahead. Go ahead. Continue on. The Lord will give you the strength, but we need to be doing these things. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy or through prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the elderhood. There was again another example of going on in fellowship from the older ones. He wasn't striking out on his own. I trust that I'm saying this in love to you, dear younger brethren that are growing up in the assembly. Take on those responsibilities. They're going to be put on to you if the Lord leaves us here much longer, and we older ones are going to be gone. We need to be exercising these gifts that are given to us and have been passed on to us by the older ones. I realize that Timothy was a special vessel here, and that this was passed on to him by the laying on of the hands of the older ones as they were led by the Spirit. 15. meditate upon or occupy thyself with these things. We've been hearing quite a bit in our meetings of the things in Colossians chapter 3. May you and I be occupying ourself in these things. What are these things? They're the heavenly truth, beloved ones, not the problems only of this life. We sure are surrounded by problems. But what is the answer? Is the answer in Christ? Yes, He is. But He is the answer for every problem. May we be going to that fountainhead to be drawing strength and instruction, and so to be meditating or giving ourselves to these things. Occupy thyself in them, that thy profiting or thy progress may appear to all. How encouraging it is as we travel about to see younger ones growing in their souls, assuming the responsibilities, not leaving it to the older ones, assuming that responsibility. The Lord will bless you if you do. And let me say this to you mothers too. Don't give up. Don't give up. We're living in dark days. May you also be an example to your daughters. Even although they may be older ones, keep on. We think of Timothy's mother and his grandmother. You grandmothers, oh, keep on in your consistent Christian life. You can be a real encouragement to others. And so here he passes on those words. And then he says in that sixth verse, give heed to thyself and unto the doctrine or the teaching. Continue in them. Continue. Paul warned in the 20th of Acts of the dangers from without, but he also warned of those dangers from within. How important it is, beloved ones, for you and for me to continue on. Now let's look at another axe head in 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 14. But continue thou in them, in these things, which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, or fully persuaded, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now here is a word to Timothy, and I say this as applying to today. We have a Bible store in Montreal, and I suppose I could truthfully and rightly say that 99% of the Christian books that are available to us, we have to reject. There is poison in them. I walked into a Bible store recently, and it was very nice. Everything seemed to be so nice. Christian man running the store. I saw a sign which said, books on the Lord's coming. I thought, well, that's rather interesting. I went over to them. I read through some of those books carefully. There was poison from one end to the other of that shelf. I went over to the brother and I said to him, oh, brother, you've got these books here, and some of these are telling that the church is going to go through the tribulation. Some of them are speaking about the partial rapture of the Lord, that only those who are watching for the Lord are going to go. And I said to him, these things are poison for us. Well, he said, we cover a very large audience, and we want to have something for everyone. Oh, beloved ones, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. I used to have in my library a lot of books, hundreds of books, and I just found that many of those books had poison in them. And sometimes I would say things in the meeting, and an older brother would come up to me and he'd put his arm around me and he'd say, there was something that you said there that wasn't exactly according to the Word of God. I traced it back in my mind where I got them from, and it was from some of those books. Now, I just don't want to be standing here and to be appearing to be an older one that just wants to adhere to certain old books that have been written, but I just want to tell you, beloved ones, that if you and I are drawing from those who have bought the truth, paid for it in faithfulness to the Word of God, and have drawn in a straight line the truth, they are those books that are going to establish you and me in the truth. Well, may we continue on in those. There's one other I wanted to... In 2 Timothy chapter 2, another axe head, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now, this is the opposite of what I read before. He looked back, and the Apostle Paul suggested to him that he would be careful to listen to those who had walked in the truth. Now he's looking in the opposite direction, and that is to those who would be following on. And here is a word now for each one of us, younger brethren, that are growing up in the assembly. Here is what the Apostle Paul, the older brother, is saying to the younger one. And the things that thou hast heard of me, lofty truth. As I said before, the Old Testament was a progression, but with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, and the apostle received the full revelation of the truth. Beloved ones, this is the truth. There is nothing more to be added. No new things. May we not be looking for new things. I was just reading the other day in a book that was warning of the days in which we live, where Satan is working on the mind and trying to suggest that when we think properly, why we're going to have power to live the Christian life. That's dynamite, beloved ones. This will never keep you and me. The truth, as it is in Jesus, has been once and for all delivered to the saints. There is nothing new now. And as one of the old earlier brethren wrote, I believe it was Mr. Darby, where he said, if it's true, it's not new. And if it's new, it's not true. We have tendencies, beloved ones, to be thinking that there are new ways that you and I need to be adapting ourselves to. Oh, beloved ones, it's the truth that you and I need. And when you and I walk in it, then we're going to be able to pass it on. Notice here that there were four generations. The Apostle Paul was teaching it to Timothy, and Timothy, in turn, was to pass it on. The same commit thou. He didn't say to educated men. He didn't say anything other than faithful men. Am I looking into the faces of younger brethren here who are faithful men? I don't want to be going about criticizing and finding fault with those who may be allowing things in their homes that are just going to be doing so much harm. I don't want to be criticizing, but I just want to be here this morning, beloved ones, to encourage you, younger brethren, to go on in the truth, to continue on, and resist that tendency of others, your peers, to be compromising and to be allowing things. Stand for the truth, beloved ones, and you will taste the truth that the Lord will preserve to you, and the joy of it to be living in a dark, dark day for the Lord's glory. Now, one other verse. Chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, and verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But, continue thou. On my desk at home, I have this written out in about 7 or 8 languages. We have contacts with others in other lands, and to me it is so important, beloved ones. Continue thou. The Apostle Paul, when this older brother was writing to Timothy, almost the first or second sentence that he wrote to him, the third verse of the first epistle of Timothy, he said to him, "See thou teach, they teach no other doctrine." That sounds very narrow, doesn't it? Those were his opening remarks to Timothy, the older brother to the new one. "See that they teach no other doctrine." Beloved ones, there is no new doctrine now. There are no new approaches. We have the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit living in our hearts. And He is the teacher. And He would occupy you and me with Christ. Continue thou. Keep on, beloved ones. Keep on. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. It's Christ alone. Keep on, continue thou. Then finally, at the last verse of, as he closes his letter to Timothy, these are the last words that the apostle penned that we have in the whole of Scripture. And what does he say there? The Lord, in verse 22 of 1 Timothy 4, "The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen." There were his last words. He laid down his pen. He's gone to glory. But he's given you and me such a heritage, beloved ones. Oh, that you and I, each one of us, you dear sisters, growing up married to young men, be an encouragement to them, and you will be blessed of God. Walk on yourself in consistency and encourage your husband to stand for the Lord against all the darkness that is creeping in amongst us, sad to say. Continue thou. And Christ, the one object before us, beloved ones, one of these moments He's going to be here, and we're going to be gone. The day of faith will be over, and all the trials and the sorrows and the fever of life will be behind us. The blessed Lord Jesus is coming soon. May we continue on. I remember an old, old poem, and it goes like this: "To learn and yet to learn whilst life goes by." Thus pass the student days, and thus to be great and die and lie embalmed in praise. My work is but to lose and to forget, thus small, despised to be. All to unlearn this task before me set, unlearn all else but Thee. O blessed Lord Jesus, may He be the attraction of your heart and mine, until we hear that voice, which may be today. May we continue on in the truth as has been handed on down to us. And may we just desire to hear what the older ones say. I'm not speaking about myself or asking you to listen to me, but I am just saying this, that we need to value those who have gone on before us. And if you and I do this, you shall indeed be blessed. May the Lord Jesus Christ be exalted in our hearts. Let's bow in prayer.